going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
All right, what's the report from outside?
I was outside for maybe 3 minutes. I counted 8 Q-tips. It's got to be one person that just throws their Q-tips out the window when they're done using them in their cars.
It's Mike Shope.
One person?
More than one person using Q-tips and throwing them outside?
I don't think I use 8 Q-tips in a year.
I think I've never used 8 Q-tips.
And the Bulldog.
What the hell is going on out there? I don't think I want to work in a place where people like roll their windows down after using Q-tips for Lord knows what. And just throw them on the ground.
Well, you do.
What, is it the 70s?
Oh, that's not very nice.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Driving on the highway 65 miles an hour. You know, I get a little left in my soda from the fast food drive out the window. Yeah. That was the 70s. Who gives an F about anything?
Throw a burrito out the window.
Nothing matters. 2025, what are you doing?
On WGR.
Throwing Q-tips out of your car.
Sports Radio 550.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
More on that developing story later.
It gives me absolutely no pleasure to announce that because of this morning's events, we will not be spending all day debating what weight TJ Sanders should play at. Perfect world, we would be fielding calls on that subject. I had a poll scheduled for 3:08, the usual time. 290? 295? 300 other, please tweet me a three-digit number in that case. If you click other, that's what you're supposed to do.
308 even could be a selection.
I am as disappointed as you are, believe me.
Yeah.
Who do we send flowers to? Everybody involved?
Everybody involved. Everybody involved, yeah. Everybody involved deserves a hat tip. I guess I want to
I wouldn't want to leave Brandon Bean out of it.
No, definitely not.
Because, you know, it was real. And isn't that what we always want and we often don't get is real? How long has he been carrying around? You know, one of these days, I'm coming back with the Allen pick. And it was 7 years.
Yep.
But it wasn't seven until it was sort of proven right, if you will. Five, four. One of these days, I thought that was like maybe the most amazing thing about this morning. We've talked about that topic every day for 3 months, if not 3 years. And I think you do this. I know I do this. Every time it comes with the preface, they're pretty good without another wide receiver. Like they're pretty good.
Right.
Like we always make that point.
Yeah.
I hope anybody listening, you know, would recognize that.
Yeah, he's definitely got scoreboard.
Which makes it all the more bizarre.
In more ways than one. I mean, they've got the record, they've got 5 straight division titles, and all the points they scored last year with an offense that did not have, you know. Well, they did, though. See, this is the thing for me. Like, I'm sorry. I do try to. I don't just decide I'm going to feel this way or that way. I try to take cues, and I don't know, maybe I miss them. Maybe I'm wrong. How I interpret things doesn't have to be right. And maybe this is an example of that. But
Cooper.
Cooper. Like, they did do that. I said that all through the draft season. They two guys out, one guy in. Neither guy is, you know, the replacement for Cooper, I guess, Palmer, and he's not as accomplished as Cooper was when he got here. Put out of your mind what Cooper did when he got here and think about what they were trying to do. Get somebody because they needed that juice. So that, to me, is a cue that they knew they needed more after they went through the summer, and they went out and acted on it. And then the other thing to me that sort of pushed me to not just dismiss receiver, even as early as 30, although I would admit it would have been a stunner, even ahead of the draft if they had done that, and they didn't. They didn't even come close. They didn't pick a receiver until their very last pick.
Nobody fell either.
Right.
At 30.
Right. So,
not that that matters.
But still, the way they talked, Bean and McDermott both, about Coleman and even Kincaid to an extent, as the season ended, about needing to learn how to fight through adversity and getting stronger and bigger so you're not as susceptible to injury in the case of Kincaid. Coleman was more the former comment I just made. That was another thing that, to me, that was a clue. You're telling me you sound like you're not sure how much you want to count on these guys, so what am I going to do out here? I'm going to go, I'm not sure how much I want to count on these guys. You know, like, I might need more. And so that was why I never wanted to give up on an early, you know, pushback on Sale, say, in the first three picks. I mean, as it turned out, I mean, he couldn't have been more right. They waited until what? When did they finally draft someone? The tight end in round five. It's the first time they picked someone who wasn't a defender.
Tight end is even defense adjacent.
I guess, especially his calling card is blocking.
5 years at Yale, and he wasn't done. That's defense adjacent right there. That guy could play some nose tackle, I bet.
So anyway, like, I'm not trying to, like, use their behavior as some defense. I mean, to me, it's an entirely defensible position that you thought they needed more juice at receiver. And I'm just telling you, the way I interpreted how they sounded led me there. I don't know how thirsty I was, but I got thirstier for a receiver after they talked about their guys at the end of the season. And I don't know, that could have been some honesty and the board didn't fall right, so they couldn't do anything that they would have liked to do.
But he wouldn't have sounded like he did today if that was the case.
Or you just didn't prioritize it.
Defiant.
Right.
We finally had some words. I say finally. I mean, it was to the extreme. We finally had some words from Brandon Bean and the Bills that align with their actions. I mean, the actions, not to gloss over the Cooper point, but in the draft, you know, it's been a discussion, whether it's the draft or a trade or whatever, like, it's always been debatable. Has it been enough, right? It's been great. Their offense has been great, but, you know, where's the Xavier Worthy, if you will? Where's the, any year, any guy? Where's the guy that you just can, there's no doubt he's going to be here a long time. He's going to go down in history as Allen's guy. And so far, the only guy close to doing that is Diggs, which, you know, Diggs was great. So you finally got some real words, not just way, way, way beyond we're happy with our guys, you know, just we'll see what happens, anything can happen, just the sort of the mm-hmm. usual stuff. And I appreciate that. There's nothing here from me, and I know from you, that's going to be like, you know, some people, everybody's talking about it. Oh, well, you have to appreciate his passion and his honesty. I got that tweet. No, or his right to say it. Nobody's questioning any of that.
Right.
That certain things are a given. And that you'd only want to question the Bills' general manager's passion if you didn't think there was any. Not that there would be too much. I mean, that's not even a discussion. The discussion is, you know, it actually, I'm not even sure the discussion is the point of the argument at this point. It's been argued so many times, and what the Bills have or haven't done was reinforced by the way Bean described it. We can safely say they weren't sniped on Ibuka or somebody. Like, they were just not, they didn't think it was important. That's important enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's the essence of it. The essence of it always has been the feeling in by some, and I share it, that the Bills don't think the position of wide receiver is as important as so many others. I would say largely the analytics community. I think fans are split. We're seeing that. But, you know, for years, a certain faction of the football world and the fan base have been, as you know, if you listen, waiting for them to make like a move that, like capital M move at that position since Diggs. And really nothing has come close enough to warrant.
Cooper was the biggest swing, I would say.
Cooper was a swing.
Unless you think drafting a receiver with your first pick last year outweighs Cooper. Maybe that's a push. I don't know. They're both significant tries. It's a third round pick for Cooper, a guy who's got the resume of a number one receiver, which you had just traded away in the spring in Diggs.
Well, can I say here, it's always two things. I'm just sort of taken back to the time when Marv Levy was running their draft. And who were the guys? Dockery, Langston, Walker? No.
Yep,
was
yep,
he a
no,
Bill?
That's it. Yep.
There were three big lineman ads. And we would hear, because their offensive line was still not good.
When are you going to address
When are you going to address the offensive line? And I would always say they did. They have. It's not just investing in it. It's doing it successfully. And the Bills have invested at wide receiver. We got the other day to how much does Samuel make? And what has he been good for? How much does, you know, Coleman on his deal? What does he count for? Kincaid in his part? How much is Palmer? All these guys. And who's actually going to be good? And Shakir even, who, you know, he's fine. He's good and he got really paid. Is that going to be three touchdowns? Like, what is that going to be, Shakir? That's a pretty good investment at the position, if you include Kincaid, which I am, pass catchers. But, and then the debate is like, well, has it been bad actually? Like the quarterback won the MVP and so on and so on and so on. I think the most telling thing about this morning is that Bean is like seemingly really on edge about it. Because I don't know, think about how you would be. Everybody's different. It could get to you. You know that the narrative is out there. You know that you're talking to people who have pushed it. Like, you could lose it. One of these times, you could snap. The draft is just over. You're exhausted. You didn't get a good grade somewhere. And be like, listen, can I just defend myself out loud here? Tell you what I'm really thinking. Bam. But you could also be, this again. What's my record? How did the season end? Like, we felt we needed defense a lot more badly. Next, you know, just simply, okay, I understand your complaint, but we think we know what we're doing. We've had a lot of success, and our defense needed a lot of new help. So that's what we did. And what do you say to that?
I mean, okay.
Okay.
I hope it works, right? I hope it works. I hope you get some guys that can play and help you. You know, I highly doubt you're going to turn into what the Eagles did to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl in one off season, but you got to start somewhere. So, yeah, like, I don't know. I did not get up today or spend any part of yesterday really upset, even bothered by how they drafted. I mean, would I have liked a receiver on Saturday at some point, you know, in the fourth round, the fifth round or something?
Not the seventh?
Sure, yeah, I would have liked that. But it doesn't, I really like the first four picks, to be honest with you. The Arkansas edge guy was somebody that I thought they might have to pick in the second round, and to get him where they did, that was after they maneuvered, right? Moved up to get the first D tackle they picked and ended up with a third as part of that and got that guy. I like those first four picks. I think those first four picks are going to be on the field this year for the Bills. I don't know about the rest of it, but they set out to like remake their depth chart really here. I mean, they've got young DBs here in those later rounds, and so they've got an opportunity to sort of reset here, and I'm fine with all that.
A first and a sixth at corner is, you know, wink emoji.
Right.
Elam and Benford.
It worked out well last time. Well, it worked out well enough with the sixth. I mean, obviously the first was a pretty big mess.
It's cute.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, I don't know. I now I feel like the whole thing is on trial today because of what happened this morning, you know, more than just this draft singularly. I wonder what pushed Bean to it. You know, is it been stewing? He mentions in there, I think even in the clip that we played, that he felt like there were a few people in the room at the news conference wrapping up the draft that sort of were picking, like something tripped a wire for him.
Reporters,
because he says reporters that were sort of going there, but maybe they didn't get all the way there. So maybe he was ready for that. And just decided to just lay it down like he did.
Or maybe he considers Jeremy and Joe reporters, which would be wrong.
Correct. Right. Yeah, I don't want to even get into speculating about something like that. I have no idea.
But it's just the Bills have had a lot of success. End of the day, though they haven't won in the playoffs, you know, when it mattered the most, they've won playoff games. You gotta respect that. And ultimately, like, that's the thing. They've been very successful. It's not the drought. But there were times, even into McDermott, where they would say things that would be like, oh my God, they're never gonna get there. Like, they want, it's like when they drafted Allen and big hands and weather and just ground and pound in those years, and like they're just never gonna wake up and realize the greatest years in the history of the Bills were predicated on an unstoppable offense. And, you know, in the same stadium, believe it or not, somehow in this climate, that happened, and that's 30 years ago. Are they ever going to get there? They do. They fall into it? I don't know. Like, this is the kind of day that takes me back. This isn't fantasy football, Bean says. Okay, so again, to you, on some level, offense is fantasy football. Having a good passing game, having a great receiver, that's just like not real football. Is that what anybody's saying? Is that like fair at all?
It's definitely not what I'm saying, because I think, you know, I could not care less about fantasy football.
Well, it just isn't.
Right? When I get to I need more stuff, it's not because I want a guy that is going to, you know, is going to be a story in your world. I don't care. I want a guy because I want to be as good as I can be. That's it. Like, and I know that's, of course, that's what Brandon Bean wants too, but yeah,
it's so condescending.
Yes, that was exactly the word I was just going to use. It is so condescending to people who play fantasy and not.
I don't even take it that way. I mean, it's just sort of, you think points are what? Like, not really how you win. And I know he knows that they averaged 30 points, and they did that, but it's still like, in his head, it's, well, this isn't fantasy football. Recently, this sort of tweaked me when, like, you're talking about speed all the time, right?
Yeah.
They pass on Worthy and get to Coleman, and yikes at this point. And Worthy was the fastest guy at the combine. He's not for us. And he says recently, Bean, this isn't track. Sir, we know. Nobody is saying it's track. It's just another way of sort of poking at anybody who thinks, well, speed is good and maybe vital to success and everything else, like fantasy football. I don't know. Didn't go great. All the stuff I think doesn't really need to be said about, well, passion, honesty, real. I'm glad for it.
Yeah.
I owe thanks to some people here, because I don't know if this won't be what we talk about all summer.
Well, sure.
The fact that he revealed,
yes,
what he did about sort of, he's maybe tight on Coleman right now and Kincaid and like Elam.
He's put
recent drafts.
He's put himself and those players on the spot by handling today the way he chose to handle today.
I think so.
I think that's, you know, that's an opinion, but I mean, I really believe that. I think the pressure goes up on those guys now. And that's fine. Like, you know, again, maybe they're ready to take that step, and okay, great. But again, like I predicated a lot of where I was looking for help for this team this offseason on how they sounded about what they had. And so, you know, again, I can be wrong in interpreting it the way I did, but his own clues sort of led me to, yeah, they still need, they know they need one more piece, right? Field, Stretcher, whatever it is. But, you know, didn't find it this weekend. Okay. But I don't know. I didn't hear the whole morning show today, need to be said, right? So I wasn't up to hear what preceded 8:30. But So I don't know how much they were complaining, like what set Bean off. It might have just been a couple of minutes with Sal, I think, is the way it sounded. Like, at the end of Sal's appearance right before Bean, whatever they were talking about there is what I think Bean was reacting to. Because, I mean, I would guess, like, I know how much they feel the receiver idea. I mean, the wide receiver train and all the stuff. But I find it hard to believe they were just sitting here clobbering him and them for the draft.
Yeah, no.
So that's what Bean sort of made it out like that was what was happening, and I just that would stun me.
It's hilarious, I think, that they brought in Elijah Moore today for a visit the day after the draft or the Monday after the draft, because on some level they're looking for help
right
at the position. Elijah Moore, to me, I wonder what Joe would say. To me, he's the guy that started it. Whatever year that was, 2021, whatever draft that was, maybe even earlier than that. But I feel like Elijah Moore was the player when the maybe it ends up at Rousseau and Basham. I hope I have the year right. And we were talking about Elijah Moore and Rondale Moore in that draft. And there were other guys. I'm like, man, wouldn't it be great if the Bills added to Diggs and Davis with like a smaller speed, like this guy, mm-hmm. now, as they say, cooking with gas, right? So they don't, and their offense has still had a ton of success. But to me, he is literally...
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Literally the player I think of for when the so-called train got rolling. Right. It started with Elijah Moore. The day two trade, I wanted them to figure out a way to get into the third round. And they do by that trade. 15 picks up for an interior defensive lineman. Got him a third, right?
Right.
They got him a third.
Right.
I just hardly ever heard about the player. I don't know that he wasn't on boards and whatnot. When they did it, we had a few minutes to sit with it when they did it. I thought it was going to be Ezeraku. To me, that was the guy who, by consensus and need and everything put together, okay, I can see trading up for that guy. Because even though you want inside more than edge, I can see it. Like, I can live with that. Instead, I don't know. There are other ways to get a third-round pick. But what? We're not going to know anything about results here for a long time. We've got to come to grips with that. We're not going to have results, you know, for a long time on any of it. We talked about Maxwell Hairston on Friday. They do add another corner. There is a receiver in the end. I don't know. I'm sure it wasn't meant to be funny. But Caden Prather out of Maryland at pick 240. Three offensive players, tight end, tackle, and the aforementioned wide receiver. All right, everybody. A lot of you have been talking about it all day. What do you have to say? 803-0550. Anything change for you on Bean from this morning? Maybe not. I'm not saying it should have necessarily, but it was a memorable conversation. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Sal at 4. This is WGR.
As you get to a certain point on the board, you're going, all right, how does this guy help? If there was a guy when we picked at the first round that we're like, yes, this guy's dynamic, he's going to fit here, we would have turned it in. In the second round, we would have done it. We went up and got TJ. Like, we weren't dodging receiver. We were going in, hey, we had the guys stacked where it was. I didn't think it was the deepest class. I'll say that. But, yeah, if it would have worked out, I would have gladly done it. But I'm trying to make sure we got the best team, not the best receiving core.
Well, that sounds more from this morning with Brandon Bean like you're used to. If there was a guy, we would draft him. The problem is you're choosing. You're drafting someone else, right? Like, I don't know. I think what we got earlier in the conversation was just not the priority you guys have been, quote, bitching about it being for years. And then it sort of, you know, toned down. Well, I mean, we would have. Nah, I don't know. You're saying both things at once now. You're trying to build the best team, which is completely defensible. You thought defense was a much bigger need.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would say the same. I think most people would say the same. Leave it at that. You were going to draft Luther Burden if you had pick 56 or whatever pick you would have needed to have him. He went early. Pick someone else for this. You were going to do that. Actually, if the guy was there, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I think for years it's been like this, and it was predicted to be like this, and it was like this.
Yeah.
Which was they were going to draft defense, just defend it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easily defensible.
Me too.
You know, that doesn't mean that we have to agree with it, but they did it, and so, you know, here we are. I wonder if all of this is just, you know, there's probably a sense, I shouldn't phrase it that way. It would make sense to me if both guys, McDermott and Bean, are starting to feel like, you know, they know what the real world is here. Like, guys don't have these jobs for life. And they have been close, and they have been hitting their head on basically the same ceiling time over time over time. And yes, you can support, keep knocking on the door, doing things right, building your team. One of these years, it'll fall right. Okay, like, I'm here for that, and I largely believe that. I don't think they can't win with these people in charge. Like, they're not forbidden from winning with these people in charge. And look, they've been close without prioritizing receiver. All I'm saying is maybe consider prioritizing it a little bit more. you might get a different result, you know? I know the knee-jerk after the Super Bowl, the Bills lose to the Chiefs again by 3, in a playoff game, and it's, I got to stop them. 9 yards a game the year, 9 yards a play the year before. This year, 30 points. The Chiefs never scored 30 points. I got to fix my defense. And then the Eagles go out and just strangle the life out of the Chiefs 2 weeks later, like, all right, it can be done. I have to do that. Yeah, or you could just try to find your way to 4 more points some way, somehow, and not have your season end 2 years in a row with your offense having a chance to make the winning play and failing. Like, that's there too. So, you know, I think to have the whole idea of getting stronger on that side invalidated and reduced to, oh, it's not fantasy football, there's only one ball and all, I don't know, man. It's just that I don't agree with it. I really don't think it's right. I just think it's a bad take.
Let's go to your calls. 803-0550. John is next. Hi, John. First.
Hey, guys. So the wide receiver debate that was, you know, talked about this morning aside, I just think the way that Brandon Bean acted earlier was uncalled for. And, you know, the comments were kind of unbecoming of an NFL GM. You know, he sounded like Bob and Sheik Dawaga than an NFL GM. And the people who are currently cheering on Bean for his comments are probably some of the same people who are cheering on Ken Dorsey when he went crazy in the coach's box.
I thought of that.
And, you know, kind of years later, we kind of all right, that was a major red flag. You know, I know Bean wouldn't talk to Pat McAfee like that, and I know that Jeremy and Joe wouldn't talk that way to Bean. But Bean thinks it's okay to treat others like that. So, you know, after that whole thing, I kind of just came away from it being like, well, maybe Bean's a jerk. You know, that's kind of what I came away with.
I would not say that. I don't know him very well, but he snapped. Because these guys always make their best effort to not, like, be raw in those moments. And he was raw. And you don't have to think that that's bad. Two people who are very close can get after each other like that, and it sounds way worse. But, you know, in this kind of setting, this is why it's such a big story, is that it was unusual. I also thought of Dorsey because I'm getting some of the same preface. I think I had a moment last week when I said this, and I think today is maybe proof of it. Today is the most sort of go Bills day of the year where we run up against the fans that we, in a way that we don't during the season. When they win, everybody is impressed and happy. When they lose, everybody is down and critical. The draft is when, like, I think I speak for everybody here, you do your best job to try to predict it and analyze it honestly, and a whole bunch of casuals come out, which is great. I mean, it's great for the radio station. Whole bunch of casuals come out and tell you, you know, just like, how do you even know yet? If you guys are so smart, why don't you work in the league? It's the same things every year. And it's really only like right now when that sort of peaks.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into the season and it'll not sound like that. And, you know, it'll again be sort of like everybody's kind of on the same page. Not always, but the day after the draft, you with Watkins, you know, like just, I hate this trade. And the same 10,000 people, if I don't flatter ourselves, who are like, why don't you work in the league then, are out there today saying the same thing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is a day. I mean, and look, this, I don't know how inside baseball I need to get here, but like I think we all understand doing this job. There are going to be people out there that think we know it all. Like, I think some people in the audience think that we handle ourselves in such a way that, like, we're, you know, we know everything. And, like, I definitely do not think that. I definitely think most of the people I know in this business don't think that. But when you have a day like today, you get that portion of the fan base is like they're on Bean side. Oh, you know, of course, you shut up the radio guy, the loudmouth radio guy who's always right or whatever. However, that person who doesn't really, you know, listens to the station but doesn't like us or one of us or whatever, like Bean did a thing today because he punched that guy right in the mouth. Like, okay, I mean, good for you. I'm fine with that. I don't mind that you feel that way about me or us or my friends. Doesn't bother me. It's just the way it goes. But it's so funny how those camps just line up because, of course, yeah, today is a day. And I totally get it. I'm even to an extent susceptible of it. You wouldn't believe some of the criticism I get for liking stuff they do too much. But like, I'm over here going, I kind of like the first four picks. I kind of like what they did there. I'm happy. I didn't get what I wanted, but I get what they were doing here. But it's always so, you know, you're over here, and no, you're over here. And, like, I don't know, it never really works that way.
It's protecting the shield, right? It's protecting your team because there are fans who think, like, that we could disrupt it. And I don't know. I hardly ever think that. I think there's almost never proof of that. But any sort of anxiety that the radio station or the media has any role in, you know, what are fans going to do? 9 out of 10 fans are going to be like, shut up. Leave them alone. Not all. Maybe it's too high a number. Poor Cheektowaga. It's always Cheektowaga, by the way. You know, why can't it be Grand Island once in a while where it's like the anonymous guy who calls in and, you know, gets hot? Let's go to Chris next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Hey, I was watching the draft and I'm thinking all the wide receivers that were taken in the draft early, I believe, or close to all of them, were Keon Coleman. 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", high vertical lead, great ball control skills. And about the same speed. So we already got one of those.
This year? You mean this year?
Yeah, we already have him on the team here. He's already got a year under his belt.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. I mean, Coleman being here and their first pick last year are reasons or are one reason to think that this was not going to be any different this year, right? I mean, it's not surprising at all that the Bills did not pick a wide receiver on the first 2 days. They did pick one at the end of day three. It's not surprising at all. So, different reasons for that. There was not a faller. I couldn't at 30 sit there on ship chasing and be like, right. They have to draft Ibuka. They couldn't draft Ibuka. They couldn't draft Golden. They couldn't draft McMillan. And Burden was more controversial in that spot. By the time they made the trade for 41, he was gone anyway. He went, 39 or something like that. Here's Madeline next. Hi, Madeline.
Hey, guys. I listen to the morning show every morning, and so I feel like a lot of the people, like you kind of said earlier, who are kind of on Bean's side are people who don't listen to their show like him, because if you did, you would know that, I mean, those two guys were talking about defensive players in the first couple rounds for the past month. Even this morning, they were going over, like, oh, all these picks were great. And, of course, we're going to always talk about wide receivers because, obviously, our core is not ideal for what you want to get to the Super Bowl. And again, like, I think the hypocrisy of him even saying, like, yeah, I haven't listened to the show. And then, you know, I don't want to necessarily prioritize a wide receiver, but then I'm going to work out Elijah Moore. And then I'm going to insult these guys by saying, oh, it's fantasy football and all this stuff. I think it's really frustrating as a fan because you're in this loop. I mean, we just did it again where we lost to the Chiefs again. And that game was a real culmination of all of the personnel mistakes that I think have happened. I mean, you have no separators up to that point in that game that could catch the ball from Allen. And so I think it's frustrating for sure as people who are super in-depth into the radio and really are interested in all the aspects and everything to kind of hear your GM say things like that. So,
well said. I mean, an executive or a coach or a star player telling the media that they don't pay attention to the media is like as old as time. That's what they say. Many times it's going to be true. Many times it's just a lie. What the Bills have, what they do or can do, is they have people who will like somebody doing their job in PR. If it somehow Brandon Bean didn't know what if they thought there was an agenda or something, but you know agreed to do the interview, the person in that job would every time if they were good at it tell Bean or whoever, listen, this is what. Just so you know, like this is what happens in there. This is what these guys think, right? They would have somebody, and that's essentially the same thing. So I don't listen to you guys. Allen just never listens to anything, but he knows. Remember the year they played the Dolphins, and somebody on the Dolphins said something, and he scored a touchdown, and he did a pose to make fun of it. But then he's always saying, "Well, I didn't know about it.
Right?
I don't know who we're playing next week." You know, like these guys try really hard to give off the idea that they're oblivious to any sort of possibility of criticism or anything like that. It's not usually true. And even if they didn't, somebody in the organization where they have, you know, somebody for everything is going to brief them. That's just like how that would work. 803-0550, Sal at 4, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. A lot to talk about from the weekend and this morning. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio with us in about 15 minutes. Here is Dave next. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
You know, I'm just thinking that maybe one of the reasons being this little hypersensitive these days, I don't know if you saw it, about maybe 60, 90 days ago, NFL.com ranked last year's draft class, and the Bills were the worst, only exceeded by Cleveland and Minnesota. And even your guy, Chris Trapasso, on his ranking of last year's draft class, gave the Bills a C-. It's probably a little home cooking in that grade. And then they re-ranked the wide receiver class, and Coleman was number 8 out of 8. And, you know, behind the Kair Elam disaster, he could be a little sensitive about criticism these days.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. I doubt. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's not specifically reading those articles, but it's in the air.
It's time. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I finished the point. I might have gotten sidetracked, which happens sometimes, but it wouldn't surprise me if they are feeling a little more pressure there. You know, I'm not implying internally like that Pegula is like, okay, guys, now or never or anything like that, but the fan base has been restless in that way for years. And what usually happens in these things, if you don't win it, you win it all goes away. And then, you know, I don't know how long that buys you, but it usually buys you a pretty good lifeline of credit. But if you don't, more people reach that point every week, every month, every season. You're just going to get more people like, yeah, you know, this has been great, but... And there's a lot more, this has been great, but out there now than there was 2 years ago. It just stands to reason if you haven't won yet. And so I don't know if what revealed itself today in any way is some manifestation of that. But we know it happened today, and we are where we are on the timeline with them, with this excellent team that's won the division 5 years running, but just can't get over. Well, really, it's two hurdles. I mean, they got to beat the Chiefs and then go win the Super Bowl. So, you know, there's two different things that have to happen there. But mostly, beat the Chiefs. Get to the Super Bowl, for God's sake.
Louis next. Hello.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Really appreciate it. You know what? I'm not going to be the guy. I'm not going to be the guy that's going to pit myself against the DJ or the GM. First of all, I'm not doing that because it's stupid. It's useless. But what I'm going to say is this. I've been a big, big, long-time Bills fan for many, many years. I used to call Bulldog on the other station. He knows who I am, Louie. So my point is this. I look at football as objectively as I can. I look at strengths and weaknesses. And you know what? We scored points. We don't care how we scored the damn points, excuse my language, but we scored the points. My problem was the defense. We couldn't get people off the field if our life depended on it.
It was that bad?
All I'm saying is, we have our shortcomings on defense, and we have some big ones too. So I'm not going to be the guy that's going to say the DJ's right or the
– Yeah, we got you. We heard you. Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying I'm glad we did what we did.
Yep, good.
Yeah, all right, thank you. I like what they did too. I've said already a few times. I really like the first four picks. I guess maybe I would have liked it if the fifth one was a receiver and not another cornerback. I guess. I mean, so yeah. I mean, they had things they needed to get done on that side of the ball. I just hope they're not, and like fans aren't expecting them to like just turn into a different team or something because they drafted these guys. I mean, I think there's all kinds of ways to win, of course. But there's just so much that happened today. I'm even forgetting about, we're an hour into our show here today almost, and like, you can't have everything is something being said, maybe more than once today.
Another thing that never needs to be said once.
Right. Or you can. I mean, what don't the Eagles have? They had this incredible defense. They've drafted really well. They have two receivers that they're paying. They have a quarterback that they're paying. They have a running back that they're paying. Their line is excellent. Like, dude, don't tell on yourself. Like, somebody in the league has everything right now, and they just kick the crap out of the team you can't beat.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think it's adjacent to the palm trees. You know, you just never... It just sounds like an excuse, doesn't help you. We can't have everything. All right, well, I guess. But is anybody saying you should? The Eagles are a fair point. Is anybody saying you should have everything? The point isn't you should have everything. The point is we want you. I'm not even happy with we. The people making the argument think you should acknowledge wide receiver is more important than you do by your actions and today your words. No matter what you sounded like, that's the complaint. That, you know, analytics, not that it's only analytics, will tell you that like the wide receiver position is massively important and interior defensive line isn't. So what is the Bills act and talk like they don't think there's really a difference. And I think, you know, for me at least, I'm not trying to speak for anyone else. For me at least, that's the objection. That one of these times we want the Bills to sort of wake up to, okay, let's just go. Put the pedal down and throw the ball down the field. And they've done plenty of that and they've done well. I have to feel like I have to say that every time. Like it sounds like I wouldn't know. But that's it. Just elevate the position to where, you know, I think it belongs. And I think that's provable. And defensive tackles, if you don't get one, what happens? You get run on by Kansas City. That's what you want. You want to play Kansas City and have them run the ball between the tackles. You don't put a defensive tackle on the field and see what they do. Sal Capaccio next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.